Steve, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. Now, you already know this because you probably heard the crosstalk. I don't want to ruin anybody's surprise here, but Kevin Richter, our producer, is filling in for Wendy today. Wendy is doing some court-ordered community service both today and tomorrow, and you're filling in. And everybody keeps asking you the same question, and that question is?
I've gotten a few. Is it the Kevin Powell question?
Well, they want to know if you're nervous.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Everyone who works here at the station has come privately and said you're nervous.
You know,
right?
I wasn't until I got asked that about 50 times.
Then you get nervous.
Then you get a little nervous.
You should be a little nervous.
Oh, that makes me feel good.
Because all the pressure's on you. I'm signed through next week. Then nothing bad can happen to me.
You're set.
I'm fine, but you got a lot on the line here, Kev.
I don't know. I mean, like I said yesterday on the bonus hour, worst case scenario, I know you've done this solo before, so I could just shut up for a while.
Yeah, you could be quiet.
You could take the reins.
You could take a nap.
I could take a nap.
If you're tired, you can lay down in the corner of the room.
There's a nice little under the desk here. I can get cozy, so there's that. Yeah. But no, I'm not very nervous. I feel good.
Now, just so people know, it's not the first time you've ever been on the air. You've been part of the WGN family, and I say that as I wince, for quite a while.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've done the hosting thing, usually like on the weekends overnight, like from 2 to 5 a.m.
A show that has to do primarily with
music,
the world of music.
But we mix it up. We talk, you know, we talk on other topics as well.
What's the craziest topic that's ever come up on the show? What's the one that you just say, wow, I can't believe I'm on WGN talking about this?
It's got to be either Mothman, which we've done quite a bit, or crockpots.
Did you do those on the same show?
Probably. Honestly, yes, we probably did.
Because that says to me, if I'm a radio listener and I say to myself, here's the two things that I like more than anything in the world. It's the legend of Mothman, but I'm also a fan of crockpots. I wish there was a radio show that provided me some chat about those things.
Hey, it exists. Sound sessions. All your crockpot and Mothman talk.
All of it. Oh. In one, your one-stop shopping headquarters. So you do that show with Michael Heidemann.
Correct.
And is there any adjustment? Like, I know you know him pretty well. You've worked with him for a while, but now all of a sudden you're working with me. Is there any adjustment at all to be made?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. You're more of a wild card, I think, and I mean that in a good way. But, a little bit. There's definitely an adjustment. I'm still learning on the fly, I think.
Yeah.
But, a lot of my radio hosting, I don't want to say I have any skills, but any skills I do have, I think I've learned from you and Wendy.
Oh,
just
very
observing,
nice.
You know? I mean, I sit back and watch you guys every day, so.
And what do you do while you're, what, do you just shit, you nod your head like, they get paid for this? Do you ever do that?
Yeah, I just, you know, disappointed.
I would do that.
And,
would do that.
What is this?
Well, I'm thrilled that you're doing this. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And if this show is anything like the conversations you and I have in our office every day, it'll be a combination of entertaining and confusing.
Yeah, and shocking maybe to some people.
Sometimes it'll be shocking.
A little bit, yeah.
Right? What shocks you in there that you don't want to do? Is there anything that you're uncomfortable that you just say to yourself, I don't want to talk about that on the radio.
Oh,
it'd make me too uncomfortable.
You know what? Not so much because of my experience in the office, but having, you know, done what Lisa's doing right now, answering the phones and all that, political talk gets real heated sometimes.
I know.
And answering those calls is really exhausting and draining sometimes.
I know.
But
so what happens, like, when Wendy and I bring up, because I know how polarizing this is, but it's a very polarizing time, when Donald Trump's name gets mentioned, then the phone just starts to light up.
Yeah.
I see in there just taking one call after another. It's a combination of people saying, I wish they'd stop talking about him.
There's that, yeah.
There's some of that. But then if there's a major Trump story and we don't talk about it, you get the opposite, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't they know what,
why aren't they talking about, you know,
what
blah,
Trump
blah, blah.
Just said.
Exactly,
yeah.
It's, and, you know, I have a couple of rules when I answer the phones, and maybe I would get in trouble for this, for saying this on the air, but if you're going to start off by cussing or shouting at me, you're not going to get put on the air.
That's
sorry.
That's the end.
And that happens quite a bit.
Right. Is that why Wendy's not here today?
Right.
Yeah, that's why she's
and cussed Kevin, so we had to give her a timeout.
Yeah, so...
But that makes sense because it sets a bad pace. If somebody calls you and right out of the box they're being rude,
totally.
You're not going to reward them by putting them on the show.
And I think you guys do a really good job of handling differing opinions, you know, like having a conversation about it. So if you're going to approach with a different opinion about what you have, but you're handling it in an adult way, it's great. We'll put you on the air. Wonderful.
You know, that's a good policy to have, Kevin.
I think
it is. All right. So I've worked at other stations here in town where there's a lot of yelling.
Yes.
Where whenever the talk becomes political, there's just shouting and shouting. The host shouts. I had to look over my shoulder because I thought an elf just brought me a pot of gold.
It's not there.
No, it's not there. It's very disappointing, Steve. Their programming is such that the host comes on and yells and screams, and then they'll put on a guy, and he'll yell and scream, and then the host will yell and scream at him, and then he'll yell and scream, and then that's the whole day.
Right, that's either got to be another political station or a sports station, one of the two, if not both.
Latin music.
Oh, okay, yeah, I wouldn't have guessed
when
that.
When I was at La Le, that's all people did, is they would call and scream and yell, and I couldn't take it anymore. But you enjoy, I mean, this is a fun job, right? You've
Absolutely.
Enjoyed this.
I'm very lucky to work with you guys. Well, I have a blast every day.
Oh, isn't that nice? Yeah. Well, thank you. We're very lucky too. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then we have all sorts of things. If you want to join in, you know how to do it. It's 312-981-7200. Take Kevin's advice. Don't start out swearing. You can build toward that, but don't just open with that. We'll get more going in next. It's Bill and Kevin filling in for Wendy on WGN.
Yo ho, pirates like for me. We plunder, we rifle and loot, drink up me, yo-ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give
a... Lisa, is this the Muppets version of Yo-Ho-Ho? I'm hearing a Muppet element to this.
It's a little Muppety.
Isn't it just kind of Muppety? Not overly... I'm not saying overly Muppety, just a hint of Muppety. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. And then Kevin Richter's sitting right over there. He's filling in for Wendy today. Wendy's on court-ordered service. She'll be back in a few days. It's hard to imagine in this day and age, in 2017, that pirates would still be an issue on the high seas. When you think of pirates, you think, oh, that was a long time ago. Right?
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about pirates anymore. But that's not the case. Listen to this. Now, this took place aboard a cruise ship, a very high-priced cruise ship, by the way. Tourists on a luxury cruise, this is out of England, tourists on a luxury cruise were suddenly subject to a dusk-till-dawn blackout by the captain and ordered to go without the standard entertainment and trappings for 10 days. Why? Because of a threat of pirates. Have you ever been on a cruise?
I haven't.
When you're at sea, because I've been on a couple of them, you say to yourself, boy, we're far away from everything. There's
right.
nothing close by.
You just see water, right?
That's it.
Everything you
can. In all directions is water. And you say to yourself, what if something horrible happened? It's not like there's a ship close by that could come to our rescue.
That really freaks me out.
It's a little jarring sometimes, but I swear on the two cruise ships I've been on, I wasn't thinking pirates. I was just thinking, what if something bad happens to the ship?
Sure.
But pirates are, I guess, a legitimate threat. With 1,900 passengers aboard the Sea Princess, all of whom paid out £30,000 for a 104-day world cruise, which departed from Sydney, Australia.
104 days, wow.
Yeah, that's a long cruise. I was on a 3-day and a 7-day, and I got to be honest, the 3-day is really nice. Even on a 7-day, you say to yourself,
"That's a lot." I mean, you get
a lot.
Is it cabin fever? Is that the you get stir crazy?
You get some cabin fever. It's just weird because when you walk around normally, you're not constantly moving up and down and up and down
and up and down. Yeah.
But the waves, it does take some getting used to. You know.
Right. And then you go on the ground and you still kind of feel that up and down feeling. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's sort of soothing.
You like it.
But at the same point, you just say to yourself, this is so foreign to my system to constantly be bobbing.
Yeah. I don't know if
I never in real life, Kevin, you know me, I don't bob. I just...
Not even
I'm
for
stationary.
Apples?
I'll bob for an apple.
Every once in a while? Okay.
If I need to.
All right.
Describing the ordeal, Carolyn Jasinski, a passenger, said that the blackout occurred for 10 days as the ship traveled across the Indian Ocean, the Arabian Sea, and the Gulf of Aden, and the Suez Canal. So they had a 10-day period there where they were afraid that pirates could come and overcome their ship.
So for 10 days, oh my God, for 10 days, from dusk till dawn,
it'd
be lights out.
Yeah,
everybody
had to keep it quiet, don't do anything.
How do you control however many passengers, 1,900 passengers for 10 days getting really panicky and freaking out on board?
I don't know. I do know this from my two cruises. Anytime there's anything abnormal or normal, what they do is they say the buffet is open.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
Everything seems to
be
all
right. You just can't see anything. Watch your shins.
Right. Right. One of the nights, because you really do on a cruise, and they're fun. There's a lot of fun to be had
sure.
on a cruise, but the food is never ending. It's just nonstop. So on one of the cruises I was on, they did a midnight chocolate bar.
Ooh.
Where all they had was they had an entire giant table
at
of just chocolate related snacks at midnight. And I said to myself, well, no one's going to come to this. It's at midnight.
This is
ridiculous. Couldn't get in.
Oh my God.
Could not get in.
Well, for that reason alone, these damn pirates.
Oh, they're the worst.
Shutting down the chocolate bar.
Pirates are the worst. She said that Captain Gennaro Arma addressed the ship and then apologized for alarming passengers, but insisted that the threat was real Now, I'm going to stop for just a second because I swear to you, on a vacation, you know how you sometimes lose reality? You go, I'm on a vacation. Nothing bad can... I would think if somebody said, hey, here's the story. We have to keep really low because pirates are in the area. I would be sure they were kidding around.
Right.
But they're not kidding. There's pirates.
I've kind of had those thoughts before, too, going on, like, you know, for our honeymoon, we went to Bali.
Yeah.
And we're hearing all these horror stories about, you know, the police force there will plant drugs on your luggage or anything.
Right.
And then they search it, and then you're in prison for however long. And you always kind of wonder in the back of your head, like, what if on this beautiful trip I'm actually...
Kev, can I give you some friendly advice? Anytime you're about to travel to an exotic location, rent the movie Midnight Express. Because just for laughs, because then you say to yourself, boy, every country does play by its own rules.
Yeah,
if,
I have a feeling
one
I would
little
be...
thing. It's not good.
Yeah,
it's not good. We had no lights. We had no party atmosphere. There was no lapping up the tropical breezes on our balconies. All around the ship as the sun set, all of our curtains were drawn and all of our shutters were closed. Bright lights, which normally signal the presence of the sea princess on the ocean, were dimmed or turned off altogether.
That's just eerie. For that
so
long,
eerie.
Too. We got a text from the 224. I was on a cruise a few years ago, and someone had a heart attack, and they had to land a helicopter on deck. It was eerie because you were locked behind the fire doors and couldn't get up on deck. You were actually stuck inside the boat.
Wow.
Have you ever had to deal with that on an airplane or anything?
I don't think so. You have?
Flying back from Turkey a couple years ago, maybe an hour into the flight, and that's like an 11-hour flight.
Yeah.
They did the call over the mains, you know, if there's a doctor on deck, please come see
really?
The staff.
Really? Yeah. What was it, a heart attack?
I think it was something like that. I think the person ended up being okay, but it was kind of a spooky moment.
When my daughters were little, Reese had really bad asthma as a baby.
Okay.
And we were on a flight that had a layover. I'm trying to remember. I think we were going to California, but it had a layover somewhere, in Arizona maybe. And she was having an asthma attack, and my wife told the staff there on the flight, and they said, why don't you guys just, it's a 20-minute layover, and no one's supposed to leave, but why don't you guys just go off into the airport
that's
if
nice.
That's easier for you? And then not everybody, but a good majority of the passengers started complaining. Well, why did they get to get off the flight?
Oh, come on.
And were explaining that she was having an asthma attack.
People.
But they were still very upset. Well, that's not fair that you guys get to go off and walk around.
I'm having an asthma attack, too.
Right. It became that. Mrs. Jasinski, who is a media specialist, was also a guest speaker on the ship. And said that the captain later announced that, as well as the Dusk to Dawn blackout, they would also be having compulsory pirate drills. Now, that's where I would go, this is not what I signed up for.
Yeah, what does that consist of, a pirate drill?
I don't know.
Sweep the peg leg.
That would be bad. You have to name the pirate's parrot. That's always a fun game to
walk
play.
The
name,
plank, Lee says.
Walk the plank is fun to play. There's so many games that are fun to play with pirates. They get a bad rap, but really they're all kinds of fun. She said the passengers joked that they knew what to do because they had seen the movie Captain Phillips. That's the Tom Hanks movie.
Oh,
I Am the Captain Now, where Somali pirates take over his ship. So they joked that they knew what to do. You know, it'd be scary to have this going on as an adult, but what if you were one of those people who had brought kids on the cruise
I'm sure
with
that's
you?
Horrifying.
There's no way to prepare for something like
that.
I can't
even, you know, I don't have kids, but I cannot even imagine.
Right. It makes it worse. So they said that they started out by joking, but that any remaining smirks soon disappeared as the pirate drill alarm. What would that sound like?
That's a good question. Pirate.
Pirate. They just keep yelling it. The pirate drill alarm sounded, and the crew was instructed to move to their designated muster stations. M-U-S-T-E-R. No, not mustard.
Oh.
Muster stations.
Well, I thought with the chocolate fountain.
Give us your mustard.
We're here for the mustard. R.
We only want your mustard, and then you're free to go. Passengers were sent back to their cabins so that they could be counted. They were advised to sit on the floor and to hang on to the handrails in case the ship had to maneuver away from pirate ships. I would be the scariest of scaredy cats.
Yeah. I mean, did they ever give out information like why they were preparing for a pirate attack? Did they spot a ship somewhere?
You know, they're very unclear about that. But, you know, the list that I read earlier where they were traveling through, the Indian Ocean, the Arabian Sea, the Gulf of Aden, the Suez Canal, with the exception of the Suez Canal, which I guess must also have some sort of a pirate presence, I've heard of them still existing in those other areas in the Indian Ocean and the Arabian Sea. But you would almost think if you were a cruise line and you knew that there was pirate activity in the area, you might want to either reroute.
Right.
Right.
What do you think?
That would be my first
there?
Thing to do. You go to your GPS, you know, and much like your car GPS will tell you.
Avoid tollways, avoid pirates. Right. Yeah.
There's a little pirate symbol. It's the Pittsburgh pirate symbol. They put that on their ship GPS. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We've got news. In a little bit, a game that you can play with us where you can win some valuable prizes. So stick around for that and a whole lot more. It's Bill and Kevin in for Wendy on WGN. Steve, are you okay to talk off on air for a little bit about what we discussed off air? Is that all right?
Well, I don't know what that is, but sure. I don't think I've said anything to you.
All right. Yesterday, talked a little bit. Oh, you can't talk about
this?
No,
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Yesterday, we talked a little bit about a trial that's going on that involves Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
Pop sensation Taylor Swift, one of the most talented people in all of show business. And she went on a radio station. And the DJ, like when the interview was over, they went to just pose for a picture, which is standard in this world of radio, Kevin.
Yeah.
And then the DJ decided that instead of putting his arm around her or standing next to her,
he misplaced her shoulder.
He was off by quite a bit. So now this has gone to trial because she says, I'm Taylor Swift. I can't just show up at your radio station and be groped
by
you.
Yeah, I think it was a meet and greet, maybe before a concert.
Oh, is that what it was?
I'm not positive, Bill.
Is that what it was?
And then he was fired.
Right.
So then he filed a suit saying, I didn't grab her.
Right.
And he filed a suit against her. She's countersuing for $1 just to prove that, you know, you can't say anything you want about someone.
Right.
And so she's on the witness stand today.
Now, she used some interesting language because yesterday the alleged gropist or groper said that what he believes is that he touched her ribs. But we have photographic proof that he did not touch her ribs. It was a little behind and below the ribs.
Right, right.
But now she used some very, very...
Ass cheek.
That's what she said. Or is that what you're referring to me as right now during this conversation?
No, that's the phrase she's using.
Interesting. Well, how did the court react to that?
Unclothed ass cheek,
Oh, my gosh. So what went on in court when she said that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine it was a little surprising, but she's used that's the term she's using. She's used it a few times now. But, you know, what she's saying is that this... DJ, you know, reached behind and she called it a grab, a very long grab.
And you've seen the picture, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It looks
like it. You know, I don't want to put too much stock in a picture. You can never tell. But it certainly doesn't look like he was touching her ribs.
No. To me, it looks like he's like showing it off almost. Like,
yeah.
Like, look where my hand is.
Yeah. How about this?
Right.
Right. Right. Right. Right. And then her mother also testified, right? Taylor Swift's mother saying that this just has crushed her daughter. Yeah.
And I think executives have testified that yesterday that they were, you know, considering ending his employment before this.
Oh, really?
Incident too.
This is the last straw.
Yeah, but
these radio people.
It's a pretty
the
you
worst.
Know,
terrible.
The worst.
It is a pretty big deal, though. I mean, you know, I'm trying to figure out where to put it in the news and how does it fit. But you do have one of the country's top entertainers, who is a woman who is, you know, alleging that she was assaulted. And in very frank testimony today talking about that in Colorado.
Well, I kept thinking, like, as this story became a bigger deal, I kept thinking, if this was my daughter who went in there or this was my wife who went in there and she was treated this way by somebody, I'd be furious. I'd say, you can't just let that happen. You got to do something about it.
I don't understand his motivation. Like, what is he thinking is going to come of this?
It seems to me by the look on his face... He thought, isn't this look what I'm doing? Isn't this adorable?
Look at
this.
In no way is that ever adorable.
No,
that's totally wrong.
Right, 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 right. All right. So what happens now in the court case? Is this a jury or is this a judge who will decide this? Do we know?
I don't know the answer to that. But it's a lawsuit, so they'll continue to go back and forth. And you know, it is unusual in that it looks like they're hearing two lawsuits at the same time: a suit and a countersuit.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can find out. I don't know if there's a jury involved or not, Bill.
I like, by the way, that she's only suing him for $1 because it's her way of saying, I'm not doing this for the money.
Yeah.
The money means nothing to me in this.
But you can't do this to me.
Right.
Right. That's pretty...
So I think that's a class move, that
dollar
move.
She could argue the suit and win his, but it wouldn't have the same impact if she were then to win hers against him.
I'm also wondering why he thinks that excuse or his reasoning. I think maybe I touched her rib.
You have to be the worst person at anatomy ever
to
that's go.
That's pretty obvious.
That's where your ribs are, right?
No.
Not even close.
Ryan Burrow's following this, and he says it is a jury trial.
It is a jury trial.
Yeah.
Wow, interesting. All right. All right, so we'll keep our eyes on this very, very strange case with Taylor Swift. And who knows what will happen? We'll find out. It's very strange.
It's very strange.
All right, a couple things that are coming up. Thing number one is we played a game about a year ago called Kevin's Blast from the Past. Kevin, you remember when we played this, right?
How could I forget?
You were slightly embarrassed by the results.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a history guy.
Right. Now, these are things we're not playing yet, so don't call yet, but we played this about a year ago, and here's how the game works, Kevin's Blast from the Past. We mentioned a bunch of people and things, events, that happened from about the time you were a child to maybe some of them happened
before
you were born.
Before I was born.
But I am so bummed I'm going to miss this, you guys.
You've got to hear this.
I got to do the Mincing Rascals this morning.
Yeah, I'm glad you're not going to catch it.
Oh, no.
Just assume that I knew them all.
Last time you got, I think, 3 out of 14.
I think that's generous, right? Even. Maybe 2.
Now, last night...
You were like, President John F. blank.
Right.
Schmaltz.
Horowitz? No, there's never been a President Horowitz yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Be patient. So last night, I'm writing these questions, and one of my daughters, Kylie, sees me writing these questions.
Oh, no.
And she goes, what is this? And I say, I tell her about this game. And then she goes, well, run the questions past me. And she didn't do very well either.
But she's also younger than me by a few years.
She's a couple years younger. Yeah. So then she said, and we talked about this last year when we played the game, that if you were to write a series of questions for me that had to do with what's going on right now,
right,
I would probably not do as well. But I think I would.
I think you would because of your job and the nature of being up in the news. Like, I could throw you like Elon Musk, but that's way too easy.
Right.
I was thinking more along the, like, all right, for example, let's see, Q-Tip.
Yeah,
who's
he's
Q-Tip?
A rapper.
All right, that's pretty easy, though. Yeah. You can just tell by the name.
Right.
I'd have to come up with a better list. But yeah, I was thinking about this. Like, who could I come up with that Bill wouldn't know but should?
There's probably dozens of answers to that. And I don't want you to think I'm doing this to make you look bad.
No.
We're not. I mean, somebody's going to benefit and win some nice prizes.
Yeah. Texters can attack me all they want. I don't care.
No one's going to attack. I hope no one attacks you. But here's what it comes down to. And we'll play the game at 11:05, so don't panic. Don't call yet. Here's what it comes down to. I think that in prior times, in times that are not right now, right today, there was more of a need for most people to know, because this isn't really history per se, as it is pop culture, but I think people went out of their way to know what happened before they came, what happened before. And I think now, because the world just happened so fast, people your age or my daughter's age don't have time for that.
Look, and you know, I'm going to go on my career for an excuse. I get a lot of names thrown at me every day.
Right.
You know, in one ear.
That's
so
the lamest excuse.
Get out of here. Don't you have to be on Mincing Rascals?
And here's what it is, really. No, but when we were growing up, Bill, there were only 4 or 5 places to get information.
That's true.
And so everyone got the same information.
Right.
Whether you were, you know, watching TV with your parents or in the morning or whatever.
Right.
You all got the same stuff. And now there's so many different outlets that, you know, people are really being served poorly. I mean, for example,
that's
like
true.
Kevin.
Yeah.
You know,
I have
who doesn't
too,
know anything.
No,
right.
I have too much news. That's what it is. It's just I can't keep
Kevin,
up.
I know you're kidding, but the reality is, like, for people of Steve's age and my age, if we were doing a report for school, we were going to an encyclopedia that had probably been written 5 or 10 years earlier.
Right.
So if you were doing a report on Zimbabwe, everything could have changed by the time our report came out. But now, because you have a computer on your phone, it's as up to the minute as can
be.
Or if you were watching college football on a Saturday, everyone in the country was watching Ohio State and Michigan.
Yeah.
Because there was only one game on in the country.
Right. That's very true.
So, on, you know, Sunday you talk, hey, did you see the game? Everyone knew what game you meant.
Right.
You know, there was a much more limited sort of...
Simpler times.
It was much simpler times. So when we get to these, and again, we'll do this at 11:05, Kevin's Blast from the Past, even though they're names that everybody who are one generation before you, I would say almost everybody would know these inside out, I think it's going to be very challenging for you to get these.
But again,
I don't want you... I hope you're not upset.
Elvis.
Right.
Elvis.
Costello.
I know Elvis Costello. I know both the Elvises.
Yeah, the Elvi.
Whatever that's worth. Yes, the Elvi.
All right, so we'll get to that. We also have Dean Richards on. We're also trying our best to get Adam Hoge on. He's our Bears insider. We'll see if we can pull that off because the Bears' first preseason game is tonight against Denver. Stick around. A lot more coming your way. It's Bill and Kevin in for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Kevin Richter. Kevin's filling in for Wendy. doing community service. I don't want to get into it right now.
Court-ordered.
Court-ordered community service. Can't go into details. It's a legal mumbo-jumbo that would make you dizzy. Let's go to Amy. Amy has something to share with us. Amy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine. You have a story that kind of plays off of Taylor Swift's situation, huh?
It does, but I don't know if this constitutes assault, but I'll leave it up to you guys.
All right.
And I'm not gonna name the artist.
All right.
But just know it's a major country music singer, male.
Is it Conway Twitty?
It is not Conway Twitty.
Okay.
He's still alive and with us.
All right.
And this is going back 20 years. 20 years ago, he was an up-and-comer.
All right.
And I worked in country radio in San Francisco and had a photo op with this unnamed singer, with my friend and the singer and I, with the singer being in between us.
Yeah.
So my boyfriend at the time, which makes it even creepier, took the picture of the three of us. And the whole time we were posing for the camera,
yeah,
this individual was rubbing his hand up my shoulder.
Oh, no.
Down the other side, up and down, almost giving me a back rub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Was your boyfriend aware of this?
No, he was not. And it gets worse because when I went to compare notes with my girlfriend after the fact and said, you know, I had the weirdest thing happen to me. Same thing that was happening to her on the other side.
With the same guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Amy, did you say anything to him? Did you call him out?
No. I mean, again, this is 20 years ago.
Sure.
What am I going to say? And
right.
by then, he was already off, you know, probably groping somebody else.
Amy, did you, like, as this was going on, did you say to yourself, this guy, a star of this magnitude, probably does this sort of thing every day and gets away with it?
But he wasn't a star of this magnitude. That's the thing. He was actually opening out for somebody else. He was just
up-and-comer, you said.
Yeah, just an up-and-comer.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he is who he is today is amazing.
Wow,
yeah.
That's horrible.
Sorry,
that's
I had to go
terrible.
Through
that. Yeah, that's we're both very sorry that you had to endure this.
Do you want to know who it is?
I want so badly to know who it is, but we can't, for legal reasons, it could be problematic on the air.
You can text it into us.
Give us. I think the initials are allowable, right? Yeah.
Sure.
What are his initials?
First name?
No. Not first name. Just initial.
No, first name.
First initial.
First initial.
Yeah.
K.
And then what's the last initial?
Last name, first initial.
No, not the name, just the initial.
Right. Last name, first initial,
yeah.
Last name.
Yeah.
C.
K and C.
Hmm.
But not KC, yes. From KC and the Sunshine Band. Please, no. Okay. All right.
No,
wow. All right. We'll put it through our bozo pewter and see if we can figure out who it is. But I'm sorry you had to go through
that's
that.
That's terrible.
That's okay. I ended up staying in radio. I used to work in sales at the radio station. Steve Bertrand knows me.
Yeah?
Oh.
Yeah, so that's a whole other story.
No,
stories about. So.
Also, if you could not say Steve Bertrand's name, but just his initials, that would help us out too.
SB.
All right, SB is fine. That's much better. Thank you, Amy. Have a good week.
You're welcome.
All right, take care.
Bye.
You want to hear an ugly story?
Yeah,
because I have an ugly story.
Sure.
This is one of the names we should probably have done on our game on Kevin's Blast from the Past. But do you know who Don Ho is? Did you ever hear of Don Ho?
No.
All right. Don Ho, for a while, he was an entertainer in Hawaii. And if you went to Hawaii, if you were lucky enough to go to Hawaii, it was like a mandate. You must sit through a Don Ho show. He would come out and he would sing a song called Tiny Bubbles. He had a little ukulele.
Yeah.
That's Don Ho.
Okay.
So one of my mom's best friends went to Hawaii on her honeymoon. And she went to see Don Ho because it's part of the package deal of going to Hawaii. And Don Ho comes out, and the place goes nuts because people love Don Ho. And he's walking around, and he's kissing women. And she's like, well, he's probably not going to kiss me. There's 500 people here. But he did. He not only kissed her, but it was a kiss with a little extra.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she said the rest of her honeymoon, all she could think about was that Don Ho did that.
Oh, he had that terrible sort of effect on women.
Yes.
Wasn't there a Don Ho show for a while?
On TV?
Yeah,
did he have his own show?
He used to be on TV regularly. I don't know if he was a sidekick or something on a.
he'd show up like he'd be on Merv Griffin or Dinah Shore.
Yeah, no, this was a regular show.
No, he's right.
And he'd French kiss Merv Griffin. That was always an awkward moment to watch.
From 76 to 77, the Don Ho show, yeah.
Oh, he did?
He did, yeah. By the way, we're getting a lot of texts about those initials, and I think...
Are they guessing the correct?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of the same one, and it clicked for, yeah.
I'm almost, I know this sounds ridiculous, but it's true. I'm purposely not thinking about it because I don't want to guess who it is because yeah. I would probably be right, and I don't want to say it.
Right.
But
you can accidentally slip on the air with it.
Right. That's what it is. But the initials of this this crazy all hands country and western star is KC.
KC, yeah.
That's all you need to know.
That's all we need to know. That should be enough.
That's sick.
It's terrible.
That's so sick. But, and that guy was just, like in my head, as she's telling the story, I'm thinking, well, that's a guy who was kind of famous. So he thought, I'm famous.
There's no one's going to say anything. There.
But he wasn't even that famous at the time.
Yeah.
But what do you think he did once he was famous? It probably got even worse.
I would hate to think so, but got it. Yeah. I mean, if you're starting there, what else is going on?
It's going to get worse before it gets better, Kevin. Yeah. That's what it is. That's why I wanted you to co-host today, so you'd realize that show business is a dirty business.
It is.
All right?
I knew that well before.
So think before you commit, before you sign on the dotted line, just think about this business of show that we're in, Kevin. It's very
Bill,
dirty.
It's too late. I'm already 7 years in.
Are you already 7 years
in? 7 years.
It's scummy. It's not good at all. I want to remind people once again that in a little while, we're going to do some news in a couple minutes, and then this game, Kevin's Blast from the Past. Mm-hmm. We did this a year ago. I just want to set everything up so people know what they're getting into. I'm going to mention a series of names and some events, and you will vote on whether or not our own Kevin Richter will know what these things are. None of these are too difficult, but they are kind of difficult. Last time you played it, you even said to me, I knew these would be hard, but I didn't think they'd be that hard. But
Setting the bar, but I'm going for at least getting four right.
Last time you got 3 out of 14.
3 out of 14.
And I want to just say I've restructured it just a little bit because last time everything was a 1 point value. So I've made some 2 points and then there's a bonus at the end, a 3 pointer.
And are they increasingly more difficult
yeah,
as, we,
get
go
more hard
on?
As okay. we go on? But if you want to play the game, don't call yet, but I'll throw the number out. It's 312-981-7200. We'll square two of you off for incredible prizes. The prizes actually are really good. It's the Comic-Con is coming to Rosemont.
Yeah. That's
in 2 weeks.
August 24th through 27th at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
If you're one of those people though that is not into that world of comics, we'll throw you the option. If you don't want to go to the Comic-Con, you can also get a Lou Malnati's pizza.
Sure.
Right. That's fair. All right. So we'll do that in a little while. Stay here. Also, Dean Richards joins us at 11:35. I don't want to leave that out. It's Bill and Kevin in for Wendy on WGN. Well, I have been waiting all day for this, and I hope you have too.
Yeah.
It's a game we like to call Kevin's Blast from the Past. If you want to be a contestant on Kevin's Blast from the Past, just give us a call at 312-981-7200. Call right now. We need two contestants to go up against each other. Some very nice prizes. And again, a chance to see how much you, Kevin, either know or don't know.
I'm about shock the world, Bill.
I think you will
shock the world.
I'm confident that the world will soon be shocked by your answers.
By my knowledge of four of your 30 or however many there are.
Now, in all honesty, because we did play this about a year ago, and a lot of people texted us and said, I think, in my opinion... the names and the events were too difficult. They said you really did some obscure ones. So this time I went out of my way to pick ones that I didn't think were overly obscure.
Okay.
All right. Now we'll do some regular ones and then the rounds will get a little harder and the point values will go up a little bit. But again, 312-981-7200. Every line is full.
Yeah.
Kevin, if you wouldn't mind, choose two numbers. Just go between 1 and 5.
Let's do...
Those will be our contestants.
3 and 5.
3 and 5.
3 and 5.
All right, let's meet numbers 3 and number 5. Do you want to handle the phones on this?
Yeah.
Now I need to make sure that you're not going to cheat, so I'm going to...
Okay, yeah, take the text away. That's fine.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to help you, so you no longer have computer access, all right? Not that you would cheat, but...
Oh, I would.
I had a feeling you would.
Absolutely.
I had
cheat.
A definite feeling you would. All right, caller 3 is whom? Who is this on line 3?
Let's see here. Cecile here. Hey, Cecile.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Cecile, how are you?
Well, I love you guys.
Oh, you're so nice. You're a little what? I'm sorry?
Just a tad nervous.
You have nothing to be nervous about, Cecile. All you can do is win. Right. We've got some nice prizes. All the pressure's on Kevin.
Yeah, I'm the nervous one.
Don't you worry, Cecile. Everything's going to be good. All right, we will play Cecile against who?
Looks like Elise. So Elise? Let's go to Elise here. Hey, Elise.
Hello?
Elise?
Is that
Hi,
you? Elise, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Elise, we're fine. We're very excited. This is Kevin's Blast from the Past. Some great prizes. All you'll need to know is this. I'm going to mention the name of a celebrity or maybe an event or something that happened years ago, and you will have to bet on whether or not Kevin Richter, our producer, today's guest host, will know this or not. Any questions? Pretty simple, right?
Pretty simple.
Pretty simple.
Are you going one by one? So
yeah.
We'll go first to Cecile. Okay,
I see. We'll start out with Cecile, and then we'll go to Elise. All right.
Great.
Okay.
Here goes. Question number one will go to you. All the questions will go to you, Kevin. But Cecile, it's up to you to decide this. Will Kevin know this name? The first name is Raquel Welch. Will Kevin know who Raquel Welch is, yes or no?
I have faith that Kevin will know who Raquel Welch is.
Cecile says yes. Kevin,
I appreciate
tell
you,
everybody.
Cecile.
Who is Raquel Welch?
Raquel Welch was an author from the 80s.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't accept that, Kevin. You're not even close on this. Raquel Welch was a sex symbol best known for her work in 1 Million Years B.C. and Myra Breckinridge.
I don't know what either of those things
That's
are.
That's fine. That's fine.
Thank
Cecile,
you for...
no points on that one.
She never wrote a book either, I don't believe.
No, I don't think she wrote it. She's read books.
You don't know that, though.
No, she's never written a book,
okay.
Kevin. I know for sure.
Well, thank you for believing in me,
All right,
Cecile.
Cecile, no points on that one. Elise, the second one will go to you. Here is question number two. Do you think, Elise, that Kevin will know who Steve Allen is? Will Kevin know who the name Steve Allen is?
I do not think he will know who Steve Allen is.
Elise says no. Kevin, please, if you would, tell everybody, who is Steve Allen?
Steve Allen was a TV handyman from the 70s, later fathering Tim Allen.
No.
No. He was not Tim Allen's father.
Well, you know.
He was the host of The Tonight Show.
Oh, okay, but I was close.
No.
I think Elise gets
he
a half a
He also was an author, and he's written over 3,000 songs.
That can't be right.
No, it's true.
Really?
3,000,
wow.
None of them are good, but he's written over 3,000 songs. Elise, your answer was no, right?
She said
you
no.
said no, so you get a point. You lead 1-0. Congratulations.
How many?
All right.
How many of these are there, Bill?
500.
There's 500 of these.
500
It's going to be a long game.
I have 500 of these. Question number three. This one goes back to you, Cecile. You trail 1-0. Will Kevin know who this is? Art Carney. Will Kevin know the name Art Carney, yes or no?
Oh, gosh. I'll just say... Yes, again.
Yes, Cecile. She believes in you, Kevin.
I like Cecile.
I've never seen anyone believe in you the way Cecile has. Who is, Kevin, please tell everybody, who is Art Carney?
Art Carney was the second baseman for the Baltimore Orioles from 1975 to 1981.
Can I make a prediction? Cecile is going to stop believing in you very soon.
I'm definitely.
Cecile very soon is going to realize she can't keep guessing correct with you. Art Carney, of course, played Ed Norton on The Honeymooners. He was also Academy nominated for his work in Harry and Tonto. Very, very great actor, Art Carney. So, unfortunately, Cecile, we can give you no points on that. You trail
no,
still.
I'm not getting any.
No, you don't get any yet. But be patient. Because he's getting closer.
To be fair, had you said Ed Norton, I wouldn't know who that was either.
Well, you could
I know
have
the
said the actor, Ed Norton, but that would have been incorrect. All right, it's 1-0, Elise. And Elise, the next question goes to you. It's question number four. Let's see how Kevin does on question number four. The name is Sally Ride. What do you think, Elise? Will Kevin know or not know who Sally Ride is?
Well, I have no idea who Sally Ride is, so I'm going to say no.
Interesting tactic. Elise, also not familiar with the name Sally Ride. Kevin, please, if you would, explain to the world who Sally Ride is.
Sally Ride was a folk singer from 1973. Was her breakout single, Can't Quit Ya Darlin'.
Sally Ride was the first American woman in space. She was a physicist and an astronaut.
She liked the guitar up there.
She did never play the guitar.
She had a lot of time.
There is no guitar playing on her resume whatsoever.
Your
guess, Elise, was incorrect. Well, it was actually correct that Kevin would not know Sally Ride because even you didn't know who Sally Ride was. You lead by a score of 2-0.
Oh, gosh.
It's close. It's very, very close. Now, remember, in just a little while, the dollar values will be double, and then our last question is actually triple.
Ooh.
So you're not out of it by any stretch, Cecile. However, my prediction is you may change your tactic on believing on Kevin on this next one. Question five. Now, you trail by a score of 2-0. Question five goes like this. The name? Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger. What do you think, Cecile? Will Kevin know who Henry Kissinger is or not?
Kevin, don't let me down on this one. I trust you know him.
You say yes.
I hope you do.
Interesting. All right, Kevin. So far, Cecile has believed in you in every single round. She has said yes every single time. She wants you so badly to get this one right. Please, if you wouldn't mind, Kevin, tell everybody, who is Henry Kissinger?
Kevin. So for the first time, I actually recognize this one. This is the first one on the list.
You've heard this name before.
I think I've heard you guys even talk about him.
We have. I dress like him.
But now we have to decide, is he a politician or is he... He's a politician.
Can you be slightly more specific?
He was a... Like type of politician? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, can you give me a little bit more?
Senator.
Even I don't know what he did.
Maybe he was the Secretary of State.
Kevin, Henry Kissinger was the U.S. Secretary of State under Richard Nixon. How about that? Believing in him paid off, Cecile. Finally, it's 1 point going your way.
Thank gosh.
That was amazing, Kevin.
Well, you know, I'm surprised you didn't take politician. I think you should have just accepted it.
That was amazing. All right, it's just gotten a lot closer. Elise DeLeeds with 2 points to Cecile's one. We'll do one more quick half round here with Elise, and then we'll go to double value next round. Elise, here comes the name for question number six. Kevin, please tell everybody. Oh, no, not yet. Let me just say the name first. Because we have to go to Elise first. The name that comes up for question number six is Linda Blair. Linda Blair. Elise, will Kevin know who Linda Blair is or not know who Linda Blair is?
I highly doubt he would know who Linda Blair is.
So for a third straight round, you say no, that Kevin will not get it. Let's find out. Right. Kevin, please tell everybody, who is Linda Blair?
Linda Blair, this is an easy one for my horror knowledge. She was the actress that played The Exorcist.
How about that? Now, she technically... did not play The Exorcist.
Well,
she was Reagan McNeil in The Exorcist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you're getting that point.
Yeah.
You are definitely getting the point. Elise, you said no on that, right?
I did. I said no.
I am shocked, Kevin.
Now, can I say something? I don't want to sell out my colleagues here, but Andrea tried to help me.
Andrea Darlis tried to help you?
That round. But I did actually know that one before.
How did she try to help you?
She whispered in my ear. However, I didn't. Shh. I did know that one.
Oh, Andrea.
I'm just babysitting the chair here.
All the integrity that Kevin has built up over the last 12 minutes.
But yeah, I knew that one. I did.
You got that one. All right. So far, after three rounds, Elise, you have 2 points. Cecile, you have 1 point. We'll take a quick break.
Yay.
Then our dollar values are double. It's Kevin's Blast from the Past. The most popular game show that is not hosted by Steve Harvey currently on WGN. All right, it's Bill Leff, and it's Kevin Richter sitting in for Wendy. We're playing a game called Kevin's Blast from the Past. Here's how it works if you're just joining us. I mention a whole bunch of celebrities or noteworthy people from the news. Kevin has to determine whether or not he knows who they are. Our contestants get to vote on whether or not Kevin will get them right. Cecile currently is trailing 2-1 to Elise.
I'm rooting for Cecile at this point.
I think I'm rooting for everybody, Kevin.
Well, Cecile believes in me at least.
Yeah,
sorry,
she does.
Elise.
No, sorry. Don't feel bad.
I'm sorry,
Don't
Kevin.
Feel bad. By the way, so many texts are coming in, some of them saying this is way too easy, some of them saying this is way too hard, but one of them said this is a sad, sad indictment on our education system. And
I agree.
And it is. It is. All right. There's no question. All right. So far, after three rounds, Elise, you lead 2-1. But right now we go to double value rounds. Each of these are worth 2 points. Cecile, I'm going to tell you what the question is in advance, and then we'll see how Kevin squares off on this. For 2 points,
okay, Bill.
Do you think that Kevin will be able to properly name two films directed by the great Alfred Hitchcock. Will he be able to tell us two titles of Alfred Hitchcock films, yes or no?
You know what? I'm going to stick with Kevin. I think Kevin knows.
Girl.
I think Kevin knows this.
You're saying yes. All right. Very interesting. Kevin?
I do.
Be honest with me. You've heard the name Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, have I?
Many, many times. One of the greatest directors in motion picture history. But can you name two movies that Alfred Hitchcock has directed? Just two.
Birds, Psycho.
That's fantastic. Cecile, you believed in Kevin, and he came up with two of the best titles for Alfred Hitchcock movies, both The Birds and Psycho.
No, Hitchcock.
Very, very nice.
Kevin.
Very nice. Cecile, this catapults you into a 3-2 lead over Elise. Very, very nice. It is a nail biter.
Yeah.
It is a nail biter. And I've had to put Tabasco on Kevin's nails.
Yeah, I was like, Cecile.
Because he's going to burn himself if he keeps doing this. All right, here's the next question. It goes to you, Elise. Let's see how you do. Will Kevin be able to name two films that starred the great John Wayne? Yes or no? Will Kevin be able to name two movies that starred John Wayne?
Yes.
You say yes. Now, I believe, Elise, this is the first time that you have said yes. Interesting. Kevin John Wayne, his name came up on the show just the other day.
I won't say why,
but it did. We talked about John Wayne for a little bit on the show the other day.
Oh.
So if you wouldn't mind, let's...
This was yesterday, and it was about a movie, too.
It was a movie that he was in.
Right,
it came up yesterday.
One of them, I believe, was Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
He was not in The Good, the Bad, or The Ugly.
And then what about Gunsmoke? Is that even a movie?
Gunsmoke was a TV series. That's James Arness. He was not in Gunsmoke.
Bonanza was a TV show.
He
so
was
that
not in Bonanza.
Work. You know, cowboy stuff. Can I
he
just
was
say
in
that?
Some cowboy stuff.
That's like many films.
But I need you to be just slightly more specific on which cowboy stuff, because there's a lot of cowboy stuff.
I don't know.
Just give me two titles. Nothing?
I don't have it.
All right, yesterday we talked about Glenn Campbell and how Glenn Campbell got a role in a certain movie.
Do you remember
the name of the movie?
No.
True Grit?
True Grit.
That's one.
And that's relatively new, isn't
it?
Yeah.
If you want to go with the same role, he also played Rooster Cogburn in Rooster Cogburn and the Lady with Katherine Hepburn.
I never would have gotten that.
Rio Bravo, you never heard of Stagecoach.
I've seen his films before. I just, you know, yeah, I guess
it
I don't know.
It just goes through you.
Yeah.
All right.
So
I can award you no points on that, Elise. You get no points for that. You trail 3-2. And it's time for the next round. This is one more two-point round, and then we do a three-point, and then we have a winner. We're almost at the end. Here goes. For 2 points, let's see, Cecile, how Kevin does on this one. Ready? For 2 points.
Okay.
Do you think that Kevin will be able to name two members of the Osmond brothers? Will Kevin be able to tell us the two first names of the Osmond brothers?
Oh, no, I don't think
Not a chance. Not a chance.
Is that the first time she hasn't believed in me?
That's the first. I think it is the first time. Kevin, can you please name two Osmond brothers?
Donnie
Osmond.
That's the easy one.
You're halfway home.
Marie is the sister.
Marie was not an Osmond brother. She was the sister. So we cannot accept Marie.
And Billy.
Billy Osmond. The Osmond they never talked about.
Wait. William.
I cannot accept Billy or William because he did not exist, Kevin. Alan Osmond, we would have accepted. Jay Osmond.
What happened to these
Meryl
guys?
Meryl Osmond. Oh, they're still Osmonding.
They're
still out there Osmonding. They're just not as famous as Donnie. So you get no points. And Cecile, I believe you said Kevin would not get them. So you're now at 5 points to Elise's 2. Elise, let's see how you do on this round. Good luck.
Okay.
Here is the question. Much like our last question... This question has to do with singing brothers from the 70s. Do you think, Elise, that Kevin will be able to name two members of the Jackson 5?
Yes.
Elise,
I do believe.
Believing in you, I didn't think she would, Kevin, but she does. She knows there's a lot at stake here.
I'd be really disappointed if he couldn't do that.
Oh, let's see what happens.
This is Elise?
Yep.
Elise, you're not already disappointed in me?
For so many different reasons. For so many different reasons. Kevin, please, if you would, give us two names of members of the Jackson 5.
The easiest, Michael.
Michael Jackson, the front man. And
brother, Tito.
Tito Jackson. Absolutely right.
Good.
Elise, you said yes. This means we come to our last question with a very close score. So far, Cecile is in the lead. She has 5 correct points. Elise is a very close second with 4 points. It all comes down to these two questions. They are worth 3 points. Here goes. For 3 points, the question is this. We need the first names of the legendary comedy duo Laurel and Hardy. Cecile, do you think Kevin will know the first names of Laurel and Hardy or not know their first names?
Oh, gosh. That is really a hard one. I have faith that he may know one.
One but not both.
I think I'll say no on that one.
No. Cecile knows what's on the line, Kevin. She says absolutely not. You might get one, but no way you will know both.
Cecile's really changed her tune.
Laurel and Hardy's first names were what?
Laurel and Hardy's first names, Benjamin Laurel.
Benjamin Laurel.
And Davis Hardy.
And Davis Hardy. Kevin, you couldn't be further from the answers. It's Stan Laurel, and it's Oliver Hardy. You said no, right, Cecile?
Yes, I did.
This gives you 8 points. Elise, I'm not great at math, but I can't figure out how you could possibly win on this. But let's see what happens. Will Kevin know the first names of comedians Abbott and Costello? Do you think Kevin will know those first names, Abbott and Costello? Yes or no?
No.
Kevin, Abbott and Costello's first names were?
Laurel Abbott and Hardy Costello.
Now you're making me sad. At first I was just disappointed, but now you're making me sad.
I know Abbott Costello.
Bud Abbott. And Lou Costello.
See, I never knew they had first names.
No, of course, everyone has a first name.
I thought it was just a one-name
thing. No, you have to have a first name. Yeah. Elise, you played great. You believed in Kevin, and that was really your biggest pitfall. You never should have believed in him when you did. You came in second, so we're going to give you a Lou Malnati's pizza. Stay on the line, and Elise will get all your information. Elise, you played great. Thank you for being such a good sport.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
You were so much fun. Cecile, we're going to leave this up to you. Two great prizes. Yeah. Kevin, please tell Cecile what her options are.
Oh, this is exciting. Yes.
Well, actually, I think we just have one great prize. A pair of weekend admission to the 20th annual Wizard World Chicago 2017 on August 24th through 27th at the Donald E. Stevens Convention
Center. But Cecile, if for some reason you don't want those or can't use those, we can get you a pizza, I promise. Yeah. Which would you rather have?
I don't know. Now I feel like I am like pop culture imperator, but I'm not 100% sure what that was at the convention.
The Comic-Con. It's one of the nation's biggest. Yeah, there's actors and people from the comic book industry.
And movies and TV.
If you're more comfortable with pizza, you can never go wrong with Lou Malnati. So it's up to you.
Maybe I'll go with Lou.
Lou Malnati's the way to go. All right.
Lou Malnati.
You played great, Cecile. Again, that was so much fun. We really appreciate you being here. Stay on the line and we'll get all your information.
I feel honored to have been a part of this.
You did great.
Thanks for sort of believing in me.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Stay on the line.
And yeah, that's a Lou Malnati's gift card. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com.
Kevin, you did well.
Thank you again.
Well, thank you again. I hit my bar, Bill. I got four correct.
That's better than last time.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
I'm happy with
you. You're doing great.
Hey, Kevin.
Yay.
Thank you.
All right, stay on the line. We'll get all your information, and everybody else stay tuned. We'll do some news, and then after the news, Dean Richards joins us. It's Bill Laff and Kevin Richter sitting in for Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys, Dean.
He is Dean. He's Dean Richards is who he is. Dean, hi, how are you?
Well, I'm all right.
You're all right, all things considered.
I was snatched from the jaws of death this morning.
What? Why? What happened?
I don't know if you're watching the Big Number 9 this morning. I was doing one of those around town broadcasts at Anna Balaval, or as you call her. normally does. She's on vacation.
Yeah.
So I'm out at this... sausage fest in Berwyn, which was really fun.
But it was literally a sausage fest, right?
That's what she said.
Sure, okay.
What?
I don't know.
I don't even know what that means.
No.
No, anyway, it was a Big Guy's Sausage in Berwyn. It's a famous place on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. And, you know, a lot of people, we were giving away free sausage sandwiches and, you know, having fun and goofing around. And this very lovely lady with a cute little dog in her arms comes up. So, you know, I put her on TV and talked to her, and then I went to pet her dog, and the just as I'm putting my hand nearer this little dog, he practically ripped my ripped my arm out of my socket.
Why? Doesn't he know you're Dean Richards? He knows he can't do that to you.
It's one of these little dogs. It's like rawr, rawr.
Those are the ones that always get you though.
The little dogs are the I've had big dogs, German Shepherds, all my life. I love animals. I'm careful around them, but I love them. The only dogs that have ever like threatened to bite me are these little...
These small ones. These little did you do your Inspector Clouseau, does your dog bite?
Did
you do that? No.
I didn't because we were, you know, we were on TV and I should have said that.
But you're okay, right? Did you lose blood? Were you bleeding?
No. The dog didn't. I got my hand away in time.
And it happened on camera?
Yeah, it's on live TV, and it's a gift now, I hear.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I hear that it's been made into a gift where you can see the dog's fangs.
Oh, no.
Right before Cujo tries to... So I nearly died for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, for the masses.
And listening audience, once again, I put my life on the line.
You do it every day, Dean.
That's right.
Broadcasting. So if you're keeping scorecard now on the TV morning show for stupid stunts...
Yeah.
I have torn a hamstring.
Ooh.
I have almost set myself on fire. Well, I did set myself on fire a couple of years ago when I was cooking.
On purpose? Or?
Well, I was cooking something and I forgot that there was oil in the pan that I dumped and it flared up on me. And
it's a dangerous job, Dean. You knew that when you signed on.
Yeah,
it's a dangerous job.
I burned all the hair on my arm, and it was like sunburn.
Huh. Did you feel more at danger today with the dog or last week at Lollapalooza?
No, the dog, the little dog.
Okay.
Yeah, that was scarier.
Easily the little dog that almost killed me.
Ended you. Now, there was some footage of you. I talked about this on the air the other day. We were all extremely sad to find out about the death of Glenn Campbell.
Yeah.
And somebody online posted a video of him on the WGN Morning News from a few years ago. And he's singing Rhinestone Cowboy.
Yes.
And you're dressed with, you have like bullhorns and somebody's riding you.
Right. A producer was on my back.
I didn't just dream that. That was real, right?
Hey, Edward R. Murrow did it back in the day.
I know he did.
I figured it's okay if I had done it. It was Glenn, I don't even know why. Why would I let a producer ride up? Like, I was down on all fours.
Yep, I saw that.
Crawling around on the ground with bull horns on.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our producers, his name was Nick Mitrovich, was riding on my back.
Now get to the weird part.
I didn't even get to be the rhinestone cowboy. I was the cow.
And you can
the
hear
cowboy.
No, that's not fair. And you can hear Robin Baumgarten apologizing to Glenn Campbell over and over and over during this. It's the funniest
not
thing.
Not because of me.
No, just did it for everything.
It was like Glenn Campbell had stepped into a Fellini movie. I was just part of the Fellini movie, but there were many weird things that
were going on that
morning. And Glenn Campbell was such a good sport. This is maybe 12, 15 years ago that this happened. Because I would never get down on
not
all
today.
Fours for anybody anymore.
Not anymore, no. No.
But this was a really long time ago, and he was such a good sport, and he was laughing. He had such a good time. And the other Glenn Campbell clip that we've got running now was a really nice, really beautiful, beautiful conversation that I had with Glenn Campbell in 2012. This is a year after he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He was doing a show out at the Rialto Square in Joliet, and we talked with him for like a half an hour, he and his wife. And it was a beautiful, thoughtful, touching, wonderful conversation that we are going to be replaying this coming Sunday. Not doing my regular show this coming Sunday. We're doing a three-hour I call them town hall meetings when we've done these in the past, where we're going to spend 3 hours talking about the subject of battling Alzheimer's.
Oh, that's so nice. Good.
Cool. And we've got medical experts and advocates who are working to get more funding and researchers and several people who are either living with Alzheimer's or their caregivers to join us to tell the stories of what they're going through so we can kind of bring everybody up to date on this. And we'll also go back into the vault and play this Glenn Campbell conversation because he had literally just found out 6 months prior that he was diagnosed. So what he and his wife have to say about it is very poignant. But what he has to say about how he wants to be remembered And projects and songs for which he was most proud are very, very touching.
And that's this weekend, this Sunday.
Yes, it's this Sunday from noon to 3, if I can manage to not get injured in any way.
Right, it's all pending that.
Now and then, which I would say is really like 50-50. That I could
Dean, he was such a nice man. He was one of those guys you almost couldn't help but love. You know, whenever you'd see him on television, he was always so likable. And I don't know if you've seen this clip. I had seen it in the past. But because of his passing the other day, they've shown it on Facebook. It's him on The Tonight Show sometime in the 70s with him and Don Rickles. And Don Rickles is just ripping him to shreds, and he can't stop laughing. He's he's falling down laughing. And he keeps saying, because he had just gotten his own TV show, and Don Rickles says, "You don't deserve a show. I'm the guy who deserves a show. You don't deserve anything." And he says, "You should have your own show, Mr. Rickles, because you're so good and you're so funny." And Rickles is handcuffed. He doesn't know what to do because he keeps blasting the guy, but he keeps getting complimented.
He's being nice back to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
It's so funny.
I'm going to have to look for that. I love stuff like that. It's really great. And I also just want to say what a great job Kevin is doing.
Isn't he?
Thank you, Dean.
Filling in. Number one. These are some big shoes to fill today. I don't want to.
Totally.
You know,
yeah.
Wendy, everyone knows. Size 13.
Size 13 foot. It's the biggest foot in show business.
Size 13, double E, which right. is, you wouldn't think.
Specially made shoes.
But literally big shoes to fill today. And Kevin is doing a great job.
That's so nice of you.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you, Dean.
If I, you know, sometimes when I catch it in the middle of the night when he's on with Michael Heidemann, they do a great show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
But Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong here. Your WGN radio debut is when you were producing my show on Sunday. And when you would come on my show occasionally and talk about music?
Yeah.
Was that your first time on WGN?
I think I had done little spots here and there, but as far as like a regular installment, I think so, actually. Yeah.
Dean saw something in you, Kevin.
Can you just humor me and tell me?
Yeah.
It was you. Dean, you were first.
Oh, Dean, okay. You are the reason I am here today.
Yep. Yep.
Thanks. I need a little support. I don't know if you've heard, I was almost killed today.
Yeah, a dog. Dean, one other story that I would love your take on, because I don't know if you know either of these people, but I took this very hard for some reason. The breakup of Anna Faris and Chris Pratt.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that sad?
It is very, very sad. I've interviewed them both numerous times, together and separately, and they just could not be nicer people. And that they got together and got married and had a child together, a four-year-old son, just seemed like this is so perfect and so ideal. These are two people who are so nice, and their marriage seemed like everything was going so well, and it's such a great partnership.
Yeah.
And any official reason of why they decided to announce separation this week has not been announced by them. Plenty of people are speculating.
Right.
Who, you know, I say it's really none of our business unless they decide to announce it. I agree with you. I took it kind of hard as well. It's like if you have friends that are, they're just such a great couple.
Right.
And you
right.
hear something's happening. And it's like, I would have never in a million years guessed that there was any sort of problems there.
I'd almost compare it to Ben Stiller and Christine Taylor from a couple of months ago, where every time you saw him, you just went, those guys are perfect
really
together.
Nice couple, yeah.
Yeah.
Really nice couple. And I don't know. I don't know if the dynamics of one's professional relationship can have that big of an impact on your personal relationship. When they met, Chris Pratt was just sort of a side player.
Right.
And now he is arguably one of the biggest A-listers in the world right now because of Guardians of the Galaxy.
And Jurassic Park.
And Jurassic Park, right.
Yeah.
Does that play into it? I just thought this is such a great couple that couldn't possibly have an effect on a relationship.
She blamed, Anna Faris had been married once before to an actor whose name isn't coming to me right away. He's not a well-known actor, but
Clark
she's...
Clark Gable.
Clark Gable. She was married to Clark Gable in the 40s, right. And she said that's what destroyed her first marriage, was that they both started out as kind of young, up-and-coming actors that nobody had heard of, and then she was doing really well, and he was still kind of struggling, and she said it just... That was the end. We couldn't survive together because of that.
Well, you know, again, I kind of feel like, I guess part of me is kind of curious, but part of me is like, why don't we just leave these people sure. alone yeah. and let them figure out their own
yep.
whatever it was. But, you know, as long as you brought it up.
It's, yeah, I did. It's all on me. All right, Dean Richards is here, and we'll discuss what movies are opening this weekend. That's coming up next. It's Bill Leff and Kevin Richter in for Wendy on WGN. That was Kevin Richter. He's filling in for Wendy. It's Bill Leff and Kevin Richter. Dean Richards joins us right now. Dean, we've gotten two different texts saying that Anna Faris and Clark Gable were never actually married. They just lived together.
That's not.
Oh, that was okay.
Oh, okay.
So that makes sense, right? All right, let's take a look at the movies
simple
that are opening.
Actors.
Right.
I know what a lot of you people who text me say, those scumbags in Hollywood.
Scumbags in Hollywood. What about this movie, Annabelle Creation? All I've seen is the 30-second clips on TV, and boy, does it look scary, is it?
It's actually pretty effective.
Wow.
It's actually, normally I'm not a huge fan of movies like this because they're so routine and so predictable. They just sort of like, you know, churned out of a factory. But this Annabelle Creation is another one of these demonic doll movies. This one is, in this sort of conjuring genre. Does a pretty good job. It's kind of old school. It's the story is well written and well told, and I gave it a Dean's List B minus.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, Dean's List B
minus. I want to see this, and it was filmed over at the American Girl store, right?
What happened in the store at night? That would really be a funny movie.
That would be a great movie.
What happens in the store at night? It seems like a place of happiness during the day, but at night, and yep. then a bunch of chihuahuas come out.
That's a Dean
horror
story.
I want in.
Yeah.
I want in.
If I'm not mistaken, this is loosely based on true events, they say. The Annabelle doll is, I think, a real doll.
They really make those?
Not that exact doll, but there's a doll
similar?
That is said to be possessed and, you know.
Oh, cool.
And all that is involved.
All right. I want to see it.
I don't know as much about the doll mythology as Kevin does.
Yeah, I'm big on my doll mythology.
He knows his stuff.
He does.
The Glass Castle seems to have a great cast. Brie Larson, Naomi Watts,
yeah.
Woody Harrelson.
No,
what's
cast,
it about?
The cast is really good. It's Woody Harrelson, Brie Larson, Naomi Watts, among others. It is based on a true story of a young girl and her three siblings being raised by the most dysfunctional parents ever.
Mm.
The father, abusive, alcoholic, but a wide-eyed dreamer who wants to provide for his family, wants everything in the world for his family, but just does not have one shred of responsibility in him to be able to provide for his family, and is given to bouts of drunkenness. The mother is sort of this is a very compliant dreamer herself. She's an artist and never wants to make waves. So it's these four little kids trying to survive in this unbelievably dysfunctional world. The movie is set up with flashbacks of the kids grown up, flashing back to when they were children. Very interesting story, really powerful performances, but the story is so meandering and that just is elongated. If they could have found a way to take about a half an hour out of this movie, I was shocked that it was only 2 hours when I left.
Seemed longer, huh?
It felt like it was way, way, way longer than that. And, you know, those are problems with the production and, you know, scripts that should have been tightened up. They could have easily told the story in a much more effective way. When you've got great, really great performances, Brie Larson is the young girl as an adult. There are great performances by a lot of kid actors in this movie. Woody Harrelson is the abusive father. Naomi Watts is the compliant mother. Nice cinematography in the movie. But the best I can do on this one is also Dean's List B-.
That's not terrible.
Not terrible.
That's
yeah.
not terrible.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right, and we only have a minute, but Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature.
I knew you would be so interested in this movie.
Got to see this movie.
Yeah, if you want to see a really awful movie for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm going to say. If your kids have done something really bad and you want to punish them,
this would be the movie to take them to. Wow.
You know, I know a lot of you, you know, you're not into, you know, hitting your kids
right.
or, you know, some people do timeouts
yeah.
whatever with their kids. you take your kids to go this see this movie, they will listen to anything you say.
Wow.
I promise. After that, Will Arnett is it's a complete waste of voice talent in this movie. Will Arnett, Katherine Heigl, Jackie Chan.
Oh, Jackie Chan
does a voice in the movie. Bobby Cannavale, Maya Rudolph. So it's wow. It's a nice voice cast,
mm-hmm.
but about one of the worst stories, you know. And I set the bar pretty low for kids' movies as far as story goes.
Right.
This one is this movie should have been released direct to DVD.
Wow.
In the just from the first place, it's pretty awful. It's the Nut Job 2. Nutty by nature.
Uh-huh.
Nutty by nature. And yeah, it's a Dean's List D minus.
D minus.
I don't know why I just didn't go full F on it.
Dean says use it as a punishment for your bad children. Nut Job 2.
That's my quote. You'll be seeing that in their television advertising.
Dean, thanks so much for spending time with us. I'm sorry you almost lost your life, but you did it
we're
in the good name
okay.
of show business. So we're glad you're okay.
Thank you very much all for right. all of that. Keep up the great work, Kevin, and
thanks,
yeah, Bill, you're doing okay.
Oh, right? Thank you. You're the kindest.
You're okay.
It's Dean Richards, everybody, our friend Dean Richards. We'll find out what Steve has coming up next. It's Bill and Kevin in for Wendy on WGN.